Alleluia, alleluia. Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. You will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. When you consider the reality of modern interpretations of Christ, say modern Protestantism and Catholicism, you discover that most are gamblers. Most Christians today are gamblers. They're rolling the dice on a dynamic that is not part of divine revelation. They're rolling the dice with the conviction that they're going to heaven, even though they behave in a way that is contrary to divine revelation. They're rolling the dice with the conviction that everything's going to turn out okay. And of course, this is not based in any way, shape, or form on divine revelation. We don't see it in Scripture. In fact, this pericope from the Gospel of Matthew today indicates just how wrong that notion is. The economy of grace is something most Catholics don't understand because most Catholics have embraced Protestantism. Most Catholics believe that we don't have free will. Most Catholics believe that grace is irresistible, and therefore we're going to heaven because God wants us to, not because we have a free will to work to that end. And as a result, then, universalism is what most Catholics as well as Christians are gambling on. They're rolling the dice that everyone's going to heaven. And they are indeed rolling the dice, but chances are they're not going to get the numbers they want. The words of our Lord, he gives praise to God the Father, who is the Lord of heaven and earth. He says to God his Father, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. This explains the economy of grace with regards to what our Lord says later on, no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one comes to the Father except through the Son, but it's the Father who is the uncaused cause, the unmoved mover, the prime mover of everything. We would not look to Christ without the will of God, without grace. And so the economy of grace is not what most people think it is. As I like to remind you, for most people, human love is what they embrace, and human love is always a needful thing. It's always a very desperate thing, and it always craves something more for itself. Whereas authentic love is liberating, it is freeing, it makes one indeed joyful. But human love always, as you can hear in any modern love song, always is torturous. It's always something where people fall in love, as they say, an indication that you're totally out of control. But authentic love is willful, deliberate, which is why it's so liberating, so freeing, the dynamic, so welcome. Well, most people think that God is needful love. And therefore, no matter what we do, no matter how bad we are, because he is love, Deus caritas est, because he is love, he has to take us to heaven. He has to let us into eternity. And again, as I constantly remind you, God is not that unjust. God is not that cruel. If I spend my whole life away from him, I never pray, I never have any real connection to him, he does not inform everything I do, he's not the goal of everything I am, then why would he expect me to spend eternity with him when I didn't do anything in this limited life with him? Why would he be so cruel as to make me spend eternity with him when I wasn't interested in this short life? That would be unjust of God. But what can be more alarming if you really consider the reality of your own disposition towards God is what Jesus is saying here. The fact of the matter is, first and foremost, the wise and the learned are those who are decidedly worldly. They're those who've decided for themselves how things work and how things are supposed to be. Remember the original sin, the original temptation that the devil gave to Eve. You will know what is right and wrong. You will decide what is right and wrong. Think of how many Catholics today, like other Christians, decide what is right and wrong. All of the polls, if you can trust them, indicate that most Catholics are agreeable to gay marriage. They're agreeable to the notions of sodomy. And they're saying, no matter what Christ says, no matter what has been spelled out in Scripture through divine revelation, guaranteed by Christ to be true and stay true by virtue of the Holy Spirit, we've decided that's simply not the case. We like the idea of gay marriage. We like the idea of contraception. We like the idea of fornication before marriage. We like the idea of divorce and remarriage. We like the idea of free love, because remember, the mentality is love is so enslaving that you can't fight it, so therefore you have to do what love demands, whether it be with animal, vegetable, or mineral. And that's the fatal flaw, because it really doesn't work that way. You and I can surrender to our passions. We can let them rule us, or we cannot. And so the wise and the learned are always the self-righteous. They believe they know the truth. This, of course, is the scribes and Pharisees in our Lord's day, which is why our Lord was so deliberate in condemning them time and time again. Remember, Jesus was not the military conqueror they wanted him to be. He wasn't the Messiah that was going to make them the king of all nations, and they didn't like him. He was the true Messiah, but not the Messiah they wanted. Why? Because they decided what the Messiah should be. Oftentimes, a modern Christian, and unfortunately, Catholics included, have that same mentality. I want Christ to be what I want him to be, not who he truly is, because my Jesus is understanding. My Jesus doesn't take role if I'm not at Mass on Sunday. My Jesus just wants me to be happy. In other words, Jesus is a slave to love like they are. Remember in the Old Testament where God says, you say my ways are unfair, and he says, it is not my ways that are unfair, it's your ways that are unfair. It is man's ways that are unfair, that are enslaving to passion, that make people slaves to every impulse. And so the wise and the learned are always the prideful and the arrogant who decide for themselves what is right and wrong and ignore divine revelation, ignore the Messiah himself. Meanwhile, the little ones, he says, you've revealed them to little ones. And remember the dynamic, as I often remind you, the smallest of children were the most useless in the family, because the family is all about survival. It's not like they didn't love them, but they couldn't produce anything. So smaller children, after nursing was finished, would only get what was left over of the food, because the older children had to work for the survival of the family. People didn't just lounge around and do nothing. So therefore, this is why Jesus says you must approach him like little children, because they were considered the worst of the worst in the family in the sense that they were the lowest on the totem pole. They were humble by definition because they knew they couldn't do anything. They wanted to help, they wanted to work, but when they're too small, they couldn't. So therefore, they only received what was left over. Our Lord says our disposition should be that kind of humility. In other words, we're docile to his divine revelation. We're docile to the true teachings of the church. We're docile to the mysteries of the faith. But note this, and this is what's critical in the economy of grace. You have hidden these things, Jesus says to God the Father, from the wise and learned, but revealed them to little ones. Yes, God hides it in the sense that if you and I, in our free will, are not disposed to the things of God, God will not give us the grace to be disposed. Remember, he knows every day from our conception to our death. There's nothing about our lives that surprises God. That's the proper ordered understanding of predestination. God knows who's going to heaven and who's not. And you and I are not to wrestle with that notion, but to live life in the presence of God, directed towards God, cooperating with grace, so that we can indeed end up where God desires. And of course, in our free will, we can desire hell and God will let it happen. So think of it, if you are not interested in the things of the faith, if you're not interested in the economy of grace, God is not going to give you the grace to do it, because he's not going to waste the grace. He's not going to let it just lie there dormant and do nothing. And he is respecting your free will to choose to ignore him. He's respecting your free will to choose to put the things of the world above the things of him. He's allowing you to choose in your free will whether or not you're directed towards him or not. Therefore, he doesn't give the graces that would allow the scribes and the Pharisees to recognize Christ. Not because he's so mean, but because they were so mean. Meanwhile, the little ones, in this case, are the apostles, because they're the humblest of the humble, and they've left everything. And they listen to every word Christ says, and they believe what he says. Only in a few sentimental moments does Peter defy the Christ by saying, God forbid this horrible crucifixion should happen to you. But he does that out of love, out of sentimentality, not out of reason, because without our Lord's suffering and death, which is the point of why we're here at the Mass, there's no hope for salvation. Whatever the case may be, reveal these things to the little ones. So God gave the apostles, because they were disposed to Christ of their own free will, then God gave them the grace to recognize Christ even more. God gave them the extra help so that they could overcome themselves and be docile to the Christ. But because they were disposed, because they were of their own free will interested. So grace builds on nature, fundamental Catholic notion. If your will is engaged in following the truth, then God will give the grace to follow it. But if your will is disengaged, then when God does send grace, and he does send grace and opportunities for it to everyone, it'll lie dormant and eventually it's going to be cut off. So don't get trapped in the notion, though, of thinking that you're stuck. Because God gave every chance, Christ gave every chance to the scribes and Pharisees, by every miracle, by every argument, by every example. And they simply resisted the Christ. Whereas all others who were converted by the Christ turned away from sin. And that means, remember, the third chapter of Revelation, Christ cannot tolerate the lukewarm. I will vomit you out of my mouth. That is the Catholic who is just indifferent and doesn't care about anything. He's not a bold, noble follower of Christ or a bold sinner. He's just sort of existing. Christ doesn't like that. That's what, unfortunately, most Catholics are, because they don't cooperate with grace, because they're not interested enough to know the deeper truths. And therefore, they stay stagnant in their faith. If that is you, if you're one of those Catholics who knows very little about his faith, you don't have to stay stymied, stuck in the mud. If you simply turn and direct your will towards Christ, you will receive the grace to go even further, to know more about the faith, to actually want to look things up, to actually want to read your catechism, to actually want to read sacred scripture, to actually come to see divine revelation, and not constantly rely on somebody else to tell you, but to actually experience it yourself, which would change everything. And we know by virtue of what the Church teaches, we need grace even to pray, because in our concupiscence, where we seek the lesser goods over the greatest good that is God, we don't want to pray. We're too lazy. We're too distracted. But if we direct ourselves, God will give us grace to do just that, to overcome that concupiscence, to overcome sin, and to indeed embrace the life he affords us. So the bottom line is, don't be a gambler. Don't roll the dice on false notions of God that make you think that he's a universalist. He's going to take it even no matter what. And you should also realize that's the same for your neighbor. Because if you love your neighbor and your neighbor is not Catholic, if you really love them, you strive to make them see the truth of the faith and want to become Catholic. And you don't convert them. The Holy Spirit does. But if you are going at the faith as though it's something to apologize for, then who's going to come to it? And if you don't know anything about your faith, then how are you going to spread it to others? And if you're thinking, I don't have the ability to do that, of course you don't, not without grace. So the bottom line is, God is willing to give us everything we need to fulfill what he calls us to do. Not simply the salvation of our souls, but the salvation of the world. And all we need to do is imitate Our Lady, imitate the apostles, imitate the examples the church has proposed to us in the lives of the saints who show us what grace looks like and how it changes everything. But the thing is, you've got to know Our Lady. You've got to know the saints. You've got to know the apostles to see what the examples are. Direct yourselves towards the Christ, always beginning here with the miracle of the altar. Because once you experience that and you're truly attentive to what is happening here on the altar and not worried about the insulation that's exposed above the sanctuary, if you're really attentive to the miracle of the altar, everything will change for you, because that is the fountain and the source of all grace, Christ himself. The Lord knows, with the assistance of Our Lady Mediatrix of all graces, how could we in that end go wrong? In other words, just pay attention and don't be like the wise and learned ones who are too big and good for all of this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.